if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy, ahoy, ladies and gents. This is BRB UK. It's episode 307. And I'm joined this week by Diarmaid. Say hello, Diarmaid.
Hello there.
And by Tim.
Hello.
Tim, welcome back. You've been very ill, and it's nice to have you back with an intact throat and all kinds of glands.
Just about, but yeah.
Yeah. But you're probably noticing that that sounds a bit subdued to the start of this podcast. But just with the recent news about the horrible scenes that went down in Florida, I just thought I couldn't quite do the usual intro until we've just had a quick word about this. We're not going to go into it in detail, but for those of you who don't know, there was a horrendous mass shooting at a gaming bar in Florida while they were holding a Madden tournament, I believe.
Well, slightly argue with the definition of mass shooting, possibly. I don't know if it quite qualifies as a mass shooting, but there was a shooting.
Yeah, there was an unprovoked shooting, and several people injured, and I believe 2 people died.
Yes, that's correct.
2 people, and the gunman turned the gun on himself, I believe, as well.
But, exactly. And all we wanted to say was, you know, this is terrible news. Horrible, horrible, horrible news. And, you know, please stop putting guns in the hands of people, okay?
Yeah, it's something we've had to mention a bit too many times on the show. This one, even more so because it's at a gaming event. But I don't think it's a gaming issue, and that will possibly take some focus away from it. It is a gun issue, and it's something I literally, after Sandy Hook, I was like, okay, if that's not going to wake you up to the situation, I give up lecturing Americans on it. It's definitely a difference in culture. It's something that I can't understand.
No.
But there seems to be a growing thing in America to try and stop this. And it's such a shame that it happened in Florida, where there was recently a shooting and so many kids were kind of standing up to this as a problem. And it's still the same problem it was. But yeah, look, I don't think we want to say too much more than that. But it's a horrible situation. Don't want to glorify the person that did it by naming them or talking about it too much, but it's obviously something we felt we needed to touch on and talk about. But yeah, a horrible situation, and obviously our thoughts and prayers and everything are with the families of the victims and the people that attended the event and might have been affected by it. But to me, it's definitely more of a guns issue than a gaming issue, so we won't say too much more, or I won't say too much more than that, basically.
Yep, thoughts, prayers, or not prayers or thoughts and feelings and all generally good feelings going everyone's way who was in any way involved or has been affected by it in any way. But for me, one of the major issues is that Americans still don't understand what football is. That's one of the main, you know, I had thought this would bring some appreciation that football is something you kick with your feet, not throw with your hands. Still haven't got that. Anyway, talking about good things finally that have happened. This is something we have predicted for quite some time here on BRB UK, and that is Xbox as a service.
Wow.
So I know what you're thinking. Dan, Xbox Live with gold, that's already a service, mate. But this is the whole kit and caboodle. If you want an Xbox of the X or the S variety, and you want 2 years of gold, and you want 2 years of Game Pass, well, you can now get it in handy-dandy monthly installments. There's only US pricing out there and availability at the moment, but I've done some sums, chaps. I've done some sums. And this is assuming everything is being sold at RRP, okay? And I know that isn't necessarily always the case, but this is assuming RRP. So, the cost of an Xbox One X plus your Game Pass plus 2 years of Xbox Live Gold, that comes on the RRP to £860. £860 US quid dollars. Whereas the alternative is paying $34.99 a month for 24 months for all of the above, and that actually comes to a grand total of about $840. So by doing this, you're saving yourself money and paying less up front, which actually sounds quite a good deal.
Yes, it's one of those things where it makes it very difficult for PlayStation to challenge this deal with a similar deal. It doesn't work in Sony's favour to do so, and this is a good thing for people wanting to pick up an Xbox. Like, I think this would drive a lot more people to possibly pick up a second console, as in, you know, already owning a PS4 and wanting to possibly buy an Xbox just for the possible exclusives. And yeah, as you say, like, it's a very cost-effective way of doing it. It's good if you're on a budget. It's not that dissimilar to a phone contract, I would imagine, in America. Pricing, no?
Yeah, no, it sounds about right. And, you know, it's, you know, at least that you're kind of getting everything you need. Even if you didn't buy anything else and you just paid your $34.99 a month, you're getting all your games with gold, you're getting your Game Pass, which has got some great stuff on it, and is actually, unlike on PC, a pretty good value proposition on the Xbox.
Rise has been announced as being added to Xbox Game Pass, so
maybe,
you know,
that's why it's $20 cheaper. the sympathy
they have to pay you to use it.
Yeah, damn right. But I mean, obviously, as with all of these things, you're essentially taking, well, although it is interest free, you are taking out finance, so you do need to pass a credit check, and you do need to sign up for something with Dell for some reason. I can't quite work it out. So, obviously, yeah, and again, it's US at the moment. I'd imagine most people listening to the show are based in the UK. Apparently, if there is enough interest, which I think there should be, they'd be looking at, you know, bringing it to the UK too. And obviously, if you wanted out early, I would imagine the usual rules of you pay the outstanding balance to release yourself from the contract applies.
I would imagine that, yeah, if this is successful in the US, then that's, like, you would imagine that the UK would be one of the next sort of territories for them to try it out in, possibly Australia as well, where, like, console prices are a bit higher possibly as well, and game costs are a bit higher. But yeah, I don't know about internet so much for that. But
Internet.
What would be interesting for me is if this does become successful, and it does maybe roll out in the UK and maybe into a few other countries, by the time that payment is up in about 2 years, so around 2020, around that time we're expecting probably the next Xbox.
Yeah.
Do you think they would offer at launch a similar service?
Whether or not, I think the really interesting would be whether or not they kind of adopt the lease hire purchase model that you see in cars that extends out to 3 years, perhaps, but then you get, you know, a console refresh alongside that. Obviously, you can get very out of sync with hardware releases, but it would be quite interesting to see if they do explore things like that, you know, a way to always essentially keep you up to date with the latest kit. I'd imagine that would have quite a premium associated with it. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see. It's a new way of doing things, definitely. And, you know, one thing I've been quite impressed with Microsoft going into, well, going into this phase of this generation. I mean, they're a major victim of their own hubris at the start. But they're not afraid of taking risks. And, you know, I think Phil Spencer's actually impressed the powers that be at Microsoft, who are looking at wanting to jettison the Xbox business a couple of years ago, to now, actually, wow, you're doing all right. You're doing a good job. And Phil Spencer is doing a really good job at the moment. So we'll see if this becomes a success, then who knows all what things you will get in the future for pound monies. All of the things, probably. But it's not just Xbox being in the news. Surprise, 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 surprise. It's another month has gone by, so Nintendo wants more nindies. It's told you about your nindies to play while you're sat in your nundies on your toilet.
This was a bit of a surprise, though, because they just announced a load of games at Gamescom, and kind of we thought that was it.
Yeah, but you know what Nintendo were like.
Yeah, well, this was an odd one, because I did a list for this of the games that they announced, and I put them in actual release order, which they really didn't. the game that's coming, that is out now, they announced last, and then the other games were just really jumbled up, basically.
So yeah, so first up is Into the Breach, which I have reviewed previously on this show. That is the kind of turn-based strategy, time dilating thing by the guys who did FTL. It is a corking game, and
yeah, I bet
again,
that's going to be great on the Switch as well.
Yeah, a really good fit for the Switch.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that after the show.
Do that. How much is it on for?
I think $11.39 or something like that.
That is something. Buy Grabthar's Hammer, etc., etc. What a savings! Go get that. There's also Hyperlight Drifter SE
Special Edition
or Sasquatch Egomaniac.
They didn't put SE. I did, because I was lazy in the typing department.
No, it's Hyperlight Drifter, Sasquatching Egomaniac.
Good.
That is the episode title, Coleman. If you could spell that out, that'd be lovely. Thank you. There's also Towerfall coming out. That smash hit that launched the Ouya.
That launched 1,000 Ouyas.
It launched 1,000 Ouyas. Sadly, that's actually all they sold. That's all they sold, and that's why it was an awful, awful disaster.
But that's a good multiplayer game. Could be fun on the Switch. I'd imagine it's a bit more fun in dock mode than anything else. But yeah, it could be good for the simple controls on a, what's the name? Joy-Con as well.
Yes, works indeed. Well. So Townfall's out September 27th. Tim's saying he put these in order, but that says September 8th. Oh, no, sometime in September. Okay, so there's Townfall, then there's Zarvut.
Yeah, that one looked weird. Looked very, very odd. But September the 18th looks okay. Don't know much about it yet. Just saw it and they talked about it a bit, but yeah. Looked a bit odd. But the one I was more excited about was the next one.
Yes, yeah, so talking of weird, but in a slightly more reassuringly normal kind of way, is the Jackbox Party Pack. Because they've recently... I think they recently were doing some discounts on the Jackbox Party Pack on the Switch in the most recent sale, I think. Yeah, I can see the Party Pack being quite a good fit if you're like bringing Switch with you to a mate's house. If you want to actually be Karen, this is perhaps the game for you. To turn into the plaid-wearing, daisy-chaining seamstress of your dreams.
But all the other things, the Jackbox ones, all been good so far, basically.
Yeah, good collections. I have one of the earlier ones myself, and we still crack it out when we've people over, so yeah, it's still used. But no, I'm just wondering, how does that work on... the Switch, if...
That's what I'm curious about. I'm hoping they still go with mobile, or whether they go... Like, it'd be good if you could use the Joy-Cons and mobiles as a, you know, as different options, basically.
Yeah, my understanding is that's what it would be. So that's the thing. There's also Bullet Age coming out in November, as well as Level Head.
Bullet Age looked really cool. That looked like, yeah, kind of RPG type thing, or kind of upgrading weapons and kind of, it looked interesting. Level Head was kind of a multiplayer level editor type thing, with also multiplayer and single player content. Looked interesting for stuff. Look, yeah, anyway, it looked okay, but that was right. Treasure Stack was the other one that was out. Those two were both out in November 18. Treasure Stack was the other one that was just slightly more, yeah, nebulous winter 18. But that looked interesting. That was like a puzzle game with platforming mechanics. Like it was a block-falling puzzle game, but you're at the bottom and you've got to kind of pull the blocks down to you and then... place them in place kind of thing, and then
That's quite cool. And yeah, no, I'm just having a little cheeky look at a video now. Yeah, that looks quite awesome actually. Yeah, hello, look at that blending it genres. And then everyone wants to be a king of the hat. I know I do.
Yeah, there was a load of games that are coming out early 2019, and then a few that I didn't get the dates for, basically.
Yeah, so King of the Hat is a hat-based game and hat-based world. About a hat-based TV show where hat people are forced to fight for the safety of their hats.
Yeah, you have to, like, crush your opponent's hats and defend your own.
So Running Man with hats.
Yes. Yes.
Looked a bit more Smash Brothers-y type thing. There was a lot of games that looked a bit Smash Brothers-y. Like, if you include Towerfall in that sort of thing as well, you know? And that kind of round, four-player, one-screen, hitting each other with stuff kind of thing. There's a few of those games in this bunch.
So so if you want to be that twat in a hat, there you go. You can be, that's for you. Mineko, I think I'm pronouncing that right. Mineko's Night Market is coming out in early 2019, as is Samurai Gun 2.
Night Market thing has got, like, crafting elements where you're, like, carving wood and, well, cutting up wood and stuff. It looked a bit weird. Maybe not my type of thing, but...
Let's just gussied up, chopping it down, Tim. What are you on about?
Yeah. And then, yeah, I can't remember the difference between Samurai Gun 2 and The World Next Door. They're blending into one for me at the moment, but one of them was, yeah, some sort of thing. Yeah, neither of them were particularly that interesting to me, but they both looked okay, but hey. But then, yeah, the last one in 2019 was Untitled Goose Game, which is a weird kind of... Yeah, graphically it looked really interesting, and then it's got kind of mechanic where you're kind of sneaking past things and doing things, but trying to be a real dick as a goose, basically.
So basically, now I don't know about you guys, I spent a certain amount of my time at school being terrorised by geese because our games teacher there was a lake which we had to run around because it amused our PE teachers.
That posh.
Yeah. No. There was a lake. It's in the park in St. Albans. There is a lake.
Right, okay.
Okay. In the middle of this lake is an island where birds live, because birds clearly need an island to live on. Maybe they're thunderbirds. I don't know. No one? No one for that joke? Okay, good. Brilliant.
I was going to ask if it was a free state of birds, but okay.
Did the pool, like, pull back and reveal a rocket? Is that what we're going with here?
There might be, who knows? Might have done. So basically, the pastime of these geese was to wait until the latest lot of boys had been sent round a lake on a run by a sadistic PE teacher, and then proceed to chase these boys. It was like kind of Benny Hill with geese. And basically try and eat us as we ran round. So geese are dicks.
Did that make you run faster, though? Was this a good tactic on his behalf?
Yeah, well, it might have been.
Employing geese.
Your persona is that dickhead goose. Where there is
Deploy
a lovely village.
The geese.
There is a lovely village. People doing villagey things. They're enjoying their life. But no, you're a goose, and this angers you, and you have to make their life hell.
Are you the only goose in the village?
The only goose in the village. And you then have to kind of basically hide in plain sight by being a goose.
Yeah.
I think it looks brilliant.
Yeah, it looked quite funny. But also in other kind of good news, three games that have been like highly regarded. As I said, I didn't get the dates for them, but Bastion, The Messenger and Undertale all coming to Switch as well, basically.
Yes, Bastion will be brilliant.
Did they include Transistor in that as well?
Oh, sorry. Yes, I was about to say Transistor was in that list as well. Yeah. So they're obviously both coming at some stage. Not sure when, but...
Yeah, great stuff, though.
Like that. So considering they just announced a whole list of indie games, like that's another whole good list.
Yeah, no. Nintendo knocking it out of the park again with its indie titles. I really wish they'd stop calling them nindies, though.
It is annoying. I put that reference in. I'm not sure they did.
Tim, well, if it's you who's causing me annoyance, do please stop it.
I know it annoys you.
Tim, it may annoy them. I'm a man on the edge. I'm a man on the edge. That's the kind of thing that could just push me. My seat at the moment.
I thought it was a lake with geese in it.
Geesey lake.
Don't give me flashbacks. Give me flashbacks.
Quackbacks.
Do you know who are right? It's not just geese, it's Canadian geese.
Oh, you're getting racist on your geese.
No, I'm not getting racist. They are part of the Commonwealth.
Goose gay is about behaviour in geese while people are running past them.
Okay. Right. Anyway, do you know what I've been jonesing for? Well, do you know what I've been on the edge of my seat? There we go, Tim. In trepidation for at least 20 odd years.
Yep.
Streets of Rage 4.
That can't be a thing.
Well, apparently it is. It's coming soon.
Oh, my word.
This was a weird announcement, because I was like, wait, really? Like, this? It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just it came out of absolutely nowhere. There was no, like, recent remake of the earlier ones to kind of jones up a bit of, hype. There was nothing. It was just Streets of Rage 4. There you go, guys.
Although, to be fair, they were in the recent Mega Drive Classic Collection thing.
Yes. Yes, so... but they've been in that for every time they've released that Classic Collection.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's got the hand-drawn visuals by Lizard Cube, who are the same team who I understand did the kind of Wonder Boy remake.
I was really tempted by that because it looked so good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't my style of game. But
yeah.
This is, and so I'm really interested in this.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, it isn't just kind of a token, shoehorning of these visuals in, but look at that. Actually, a lot of care and attention's been kind of put into kind of reimagining Streets of Rage in a kind of anime interactive cartoon kind of style. If anything, I'd say the visual style reminds me of kind of Street Fighter Alpha series.
Okay.
I would say it's got that kind of vibe to it.
I would go with more Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap myself.
Well, I know, but trying to show that they might take other influences other than themselves. But I was never a big, because I was more of a kind of a Super Nintendo chap growing up. I never really kind of majorly got into the Streets of Rage games. But yeah, I know you were a big Mega Drive fanboy, weren't you, Tim?
Well, back in the day. I think I had, may have had one of them on my, well, Genesis as it was, but I think I had two or three of them on the Game Gear, basically. That's where I played a lot of them. And yeah, like, I really do like those games, and there's not many good examples of those type of things. There was like Shaq Fu recently, which wasn't great, and the only one that we played recently was on the Switch when we did an interview with the guy from Raging Justice as well. That was a good one. I liked that. But yeah, an actual Streets of Rage coming back, that's quite cool. They announced it with two characters. You imagine they're just holding back the other two characters they could use you imagine there's at least one other character that they'll probably announce later in another trailer and stuff like that, basically. They're probably holding something back. But I would imagine to see one or two other players. It'd be good if this was actually four-player. That would be quite cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, it's the platforms it's going to be out on aren't yet announced, but I bet your bottom dollar it's going to be, okay, I'm channeling my inner Mystic Dan here. It's going to be PlayStation 4.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
It's PC.
Mm-hmm.
Switch.
That's it. I'm less likely on the Switch, on the PC, but I think it'll get there eventually, but maybe not at the same time.
Sega seemed to be... Well, I was actually going to make the point that Sega's games more recently have been just... Like, clearly everything's coming back. You have... Shenmue 1 and 2.
Shenmue?
The collection. You have the Valkyria Chronicles 4 is coming. The Yakuza games seem to be going from strength to strength. I mean, this is a really good time to be a Sega fan. But they don't seem to be ignoring the PC, which is
yes.
good for them and good for PC fans as well. So.
Hey, it's good for me. Makes me happy. So we will see. I mean, it's kind of, if anything, just seeing this just makes me really want a decent Final Fight remake. That's the problem, because I loved Final Fight.
Yeah, but, Final
Fight. It's one
good.
Of those things, though, going back and replaying it, yeah, it's not so good. You know, and that would be one of my only worries. And, you know, I hope that they do update some of the mechanics to go with the updated visuals rather than just slap a new lick of paint on a fairly old franchise. Anywho. It's not just old things that are new things are new as well. Cyberpunk 2077, a game scheduled to take place over, well, 60 years from now. No, 59 years from now. Synchronized watches, chaps. They finally did a gameplay reveal of it. And my lordy goodness, this looks like a thing.
Yeah, and by the sounds of it, this was similar to the gameplay demo that they showed at E3. No, this was just them releasing a full run of that to the public.
Since it has come out and a lot of people kind of, not criticized it, but certainly asked questions of whether this was actually real gameplay, a lot of game journals have come out and said, no, this is pretty much what we've been shown. They probably did it a bit smoother than they did in the, you know, they didn't show any of the glitches that might have come up, but this is pretty much what we were shown. So yeah, it looks like it's real and all that kind of stuff. And it looks like that's what they were shown as well. I mean, it just looks stunning.
Yes.
Oh, really,
it
really
looks absolutely
stunning.
Amazing. It really does. Although some slightly weird dismembered naked people are involved. Which is never a good look. It's like they flew in David Cage for, all right, David, we need to find a reason to, a tangential reason to put a naked lady in a bath. Can you
they
come
did,
up with one?
Oh, yeah, they did want to make it clear that this is an adult world, and it definitely showed the influences of the genre, and, you know, obviously cyberpunk and Blade Runner being massive influences. But yeah, it not only looked fantastic, it did one of those things of, yeah. Just give me the controls. I want to play that now.
Like, I mean, I think my only concern is how well it's going to differentiate itself from franchises like Deus Ex. It's got some similarities with, certainly with Deus Ex, I would say, in kind of its setup and some of the kind of the tropes that are being kind of run out in the game.
For me, it looked like they were doing what Deus Ex wanted to do, almost, kind of thing. I mean, it looked like they were taking that to the next level. And for me, like, I, you know, I'd heard all the things and I'd seen people's reactions coming out of the demo and stuff. But yeah, like it looked fantastic. This looked like something. Yeah, as I said, you don't need to show me anything else on the game. I'm fine. Just tell me when I can buy it, and I will. Yeah, I'm in.
I mean, goodness knows what hardware they were demonstrating it on, and I'm sure this is going to get the GeForce RTX ray tracing goodness slapped all over it at the low price of £4 million. But yeah, it's one of the games that I sincerely hope it lives up to its own hype.
Yeah, I think it can do as well. Like you mentioned Deus Ex, but the sales numbers for the recent Deus Ex games haven't been good enough, and it's pretty much common knowledge that Square have sort of put it on the back burner. I think after seeing this gameplay, anyone at Square that was thinking, oh, we might be able to push this out, they're like, no, we're avoiding that. We are staying away.
Stay well away.
Away from this. This is away not a battle thing that we're going to have.
But also, I don't know about you guys as well. It's not only that I've now seen this gameplay demo, I also trust CD Projekt Red, like, to deliver on what they're saying is the thing. If they were to let us down, this would be the first example of it. And I remember when I saw the Witcher 3 gameplay demo like a year early. Like, it was the same thing. I was like, they won't have that in the final game. It won't be a complete open world where you can go anywhere on a boat and blah, blah, blah. And it won't be this massive that they're talking about and everything else. And they delivered on the Witcher 3. Like, and I trust them to deliver on this game, and I think they will.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I truly hope that they're going to be able to make good on the checks their mouths are currently writing as they show it off. So gritty adult cyberpunk goodness for you. You only need to wait for 59 years. You're fine. Absolutely fine. So yes, but anyway, there's some more points of interest as well. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. If you cast your minds back to, God, when did that come out? 2009?
About then, yeah. I'm just trying to think around then.
Which I can remember, Tim, we had some good times playing the Spec Ops co-op mode on that. It's finally coming to Xbox One's backwards compatibility, which is nice. So if you already own the game digitally or physically, you're good to go. But if you don't, you can pick it up for £18.74, a particularly random price on the Xbox Marketplace. And for those of you who own a cat helmet and want a high-def cat helmet and now want a 4K cat helmet, the Xbox One X patch for the Master Chief Collection is now available.
I can't believe the size of it.
Clear some hard drive space, people.
It is. It's huge. Okay, it's huge.
We've saved hard drive space with all the no games. It's fine.
Oh, snap. It's got girthage, considerable girthage. It's got 73 gigabytes of girth that you need to cram into your Xbox One X. Hope you bought the 1 terabyte model. it features a rework of the matchmaking system, shorter load times, which isn't flipping difficult. Sometimes it would have been cheaper to go out to the shops, buy an original Xbox, buy a copy of Halo 2, jump on the bus, come back home, set it up, and play. Would have been quicker than some of the Xbox One loading times for the original Master Chief Collection. It's also got offline LAN support for your truly retro for your new age fun with a retro feel if you want to have a LAN party, and also 4K and HDR goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness.
I think that was like one of the few games that I was thinking, if I picked up an Xbox, this would be what I'd get. And obviously its launch was terrible. Is it now relatively fixed?
Three years later, is it the game it should have been originally?
Yes, is what I'm trying to ask.
Possibly. It might finally be done.
Okay, cool. That's good.
But people are still complaining that Halo Reach isn't in there still.
Best Halo game.
With the size of that update, I wouldn't be surprised if they came out and said, yeah, it is in there. You just haven't enabled it yet.
Oh, we forgot. Yeah, that's in there too.
Well, originally to make good, didn't they add ODST, I think?
Something along the way. I still haven't been back to it since I originally picked it up and started playing the first one.
Yeah. So, kind of on a vaguely Bungie note as well, Destiny 2 Forsaken is on the horizon. This time next week, I will be nuts deep in it, no doubt. They've released a new trailer, which elaborates a bit more about the final moments of Cade 6. He is truly, really, very dead. Absolutely no qualms about
definitely.
It. Very, very, very dead. And other news from that trailer is that your Guardian can speak again. He's found his voice. He clearly had a bit of a sore throat for the whole of the first year of Destiny 2. And has
Someone
remembered
gave
how
him
to,
a lozenge, and now yeah, he's fine.
And now they're all good. So as a part build-up to this, they've released a kind of the pre-patch. It essentially contains all the assets and stuff a week ahead of time. It was a big old, I think, 38 gig download on the PC.
Yeah, it was freaking huge on PS4 as well.
Mahoosive. But it's essentially updated the base game to have some of the goodies coming with Forsaken in it, which include the new weapon slot system, which I think they've communicated really badly how that works. So it used to be, so you had a kinetic weapon, elemental weapon, and a power weapon. But now they're changing it to primary, secondary, heavy. But there's some disassociation between the guns and the ammo types. You can have stuff in your secondary slot that takes primary ammo, and stuff in your secondary and stuff in your primary ammo that takes secondary ammo. But basically, it's a way of kind of balancing the load out. It feels a lot more like Destiny 1. They've made a lot of tweaks to the gameplay. It's a lot snappier. You feel a bit more OP, finally. They've massively reduced stuff like time to kill in multiplayer. So it does feel a lot more Twitch shootery, or certainly a lot more like Halo, not Halo 1. Destiny 1 did. And they're starting to tease little things that we're going to come across in Forsaken. And as part of that as well, there is a free early access to the Gambit mode, which is the new PvEVP mode that they've been showing off.
Just a lot of letters, that's all.
You're kidding?
Yeah, over letters.
Okay. PvEVP. And everyone gets to have a go on that for 24 hours on Saturday, the 1st of September, 2nd September, and that launches at 6 p.m. British summer time and continues for a full 24 hours. I'll be giving a go.
Something that should also be mentioned right now, PlayStation have announced the PlayStation Plus games for next month, or this September, basically, and Destiny 2 is one of them.
I was just looking them up to another. Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
And ahead of this weekend, they've actually released that PlayStation Plus game, like, now. So you can go onto the store right now and download Destiny 2 for free. And once you download the Mahoosive patch, you'll be able to try out this Gambit mode as well. So, yeah, it's worth jumping into just to see if you do like it.
No excuses. And there is a BRB Destiny 2 clan that's currently full up with people who aren't really doing very much in it, so I'm going to be doing some pruning of that. So hopefully by the time Forsaken rolls around, there will be space to join up with the rest of BRB peeps if you too want to play Destiny 2 on either PC, Xbox, or PlayStation 4.
Yeah, and just to mention, the other main game on PS Plus is God of War 3 Remastered as well, so that's a pretty good month. It's quite good.
Very good. So I think that's it for points of interest and news. And I've kind of already talked about what I've started playing, which was Destiny 2 version 2, which is very confusing. But I also rebuilt my PC, just to add to the confusion as well.
Why was that, Dan? Just because that's what PC people do?
Well, partially. And also that when I first built my PC, I decided to do so in an ITX form factor, which is the small form factor. I'm still not entirely sure.
That sounds really boring.
No, I'm still not entirely sure why I decided to do this, because it was a moronic choice. It basically led to lots of swearing and having to uninstall and reinstall components as I worked out that the thing I just installed covered the port, so I need to plug the other thing into.
I was just going to ask, doesn't kind of using that kind of form factor mean that you're cutting yourself off from a number of different components that you can buy or can't buy?
Exactly.
You kind of have to be extra careful when you're buying the next graphics card in case
So I finally managed...
Runs into your RAM.
Yeah, so I finally moved to an ATX motherboard. I haven't upgraded my processor, so that was fun. So I had to look for the kind of the Z270 instead of the Z370, which is quite difficult to find this day and age. But yeah, it runs cooler. It's shinier. I bought another 16 gig of RAM, and it now it seems much happier with life, which is lovely. And also 90% less swearing while building the damn thing. So if you know anyone who wants an ITX case and an ITX motherboard, just give me a shout. Just take it off my hands. Can't guarantee the motherboard works. But just take it off my hands.
Sounds worth it.
Yeah, it was good fun. And there's something satisfying about building your own rig, I have to say. So, good times.
Well done, then. Good. Well done.
Good times. But, Tim, you've been playing something I really want to hear what it's like in modern day and age, and that is Shenmue! Are you hanging about the docks like a salty sea dog again?
Almost. Right, now. Okay, you'll be with me on this tale. But basically, I got a code for Shenmue 1 and Shenmue 2. I'll talk about Shenmue 2 next week, hopefully. I've been talking about Shenmue this week just because that's the one I've been spending some time.
No. What? Never heard of that game. Never heard of that game.
Shenmue!
There we go.
But yeah, like, it's... It's been really interesting to go back to, basically. We talked about it a while back, and I was like, I'm not sure that re-releasing the games is necessarily a good idea for helping to sell the next one, basically. Because I think it's something that's possibly very much an element of its time and possibly could be better off left as a memory than revisiting. There are elements of that, like, especially when you first kind of get going. I don't remember you remember the story setup, but the first cutscene is basically your dad being killed in front of you, basically. And then the story that it sets up was originally, I thought it was a 20-part. I was arguing this with Coleman. He said it was a 15-part story, but it's a very multi-part story that they only got to tell the first two parts of. And is now coming back and telling the third that's hopefully completing things, possibly. But yeah, Shenmue was the opening game in this. And this was one that was originally on the Dreamcast and a game that I really loved from playing back then. But yeah, I was really worried about how stuff like the day-night cycle and like you having to be home for 11 o'clock, otherwise you get in trouble kind of thing. And elements like that were going to kind of play out in the modern age. And some of that does feel very backwards, in the form of like there are games that use that and do that to a better end. Like literally the day-night cycle in this is at 7 o'clock, stuff goes over to nighttime, basically, kind of thing. There are shops that like open and close at different times throughout the day a little bit, but generally like the major change comes at like 7 o'clock at night, and then you've got to be home by like 11.
But let's not forget, back in the day, this was pretty revolutionary stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But there's so many games now where they use that sort of mechanic to a slightly greater degree without really shoving it in your face that they're doing it a little bit.
Oh, I hate it when it gets shoved in my face.
But there's also mechanics to deal with the problems that it creates as well, which this game doesn't have. Like, just being able to advance time when you're in the right place, you've got nothing else to do, and you just want to wait time until the next time. Like, I have got less far in this game than I could have because of, like, nights running out here and there, and also just spending a night in the arcade. So, you know, that's kind of true to life and also true to how I played the game previously. But I did find the sailors. I have moved on from that bit.
Of course you did. Well, they shoving it in your face as well.
I know why that bit becomes so memorable, though, because it is a bit obtuse as to where you need to go to find the people and stuff. But yeah, like, it's... At the same time as like encountering problems like having to like stand still in a spot for ages and just wait, which is kind of boring. And like a few other parts of like the like they've polished up the game so that doesn't look too bad, but the cutscenes themselves aren't polished up and got like black bars down the side and look a bit ropier than the rest of them. So it's a bit odd and a bit jarring type thing. But actually going back and playing the game has been quite enjoyable, and I've enjoyed going back into that world and like you know it's got quick time events which a lot of people get bored with, but were almost revolutionary in the way they were employed in this game kind of thing. And yeah, like I it's, as I said, like it's very much an element of its time, and I'd be interested to see like someone going back to it that hadn't played it previously, what they'd think of it. Like, I don't know if it's got any value to someone in there other than possibly seeing the history and the roots of where some of these mechanics and some other games kind of riffed from as well, sort of thing.
I mean, my concern is that is this actually more just kind of a gaming history curiosity than something actually worth playing anymore?
Right, and that's why, like, I'm playing it with the benefit of nostalgia and enjoying it because of that. Like, just, I spent, you know, all right, okay, I've got like 4 hours to kill. I'm going to go play the slots machines for 4 hours and just playing around the arcade and playing Hang-On and Space Harrier.
But what you're saying is that these damn kids, these damn millennials, won't appreciate it for what it is.
Well, look, I'd be interested to see if someone of that age did like appreciate it. But I think you'd have to be, as I said, appreciating it from a historical standpoint almost kind of thing. But, like, that said, the story's good. Like, I don't remember, like, some of the stuff that I don't remember being a problem is definitely a problem. And one of those things is the voice acting, because it sounds like it was recorded in a cupboard through a sock. Like, this podcast will be a much higher audio quality than all of the audio in that game, basically. And yeah, like, that just feels a bit jarring and a bit odd. And some of the dialogue that people say is jarring and odd at times as well. But, like, as I said, it's, for me, it's been enjoyable to go back and actually play the game. And even though I want to move on to the next one and talk about that for next week, I still want to play more of this at some point. So I will go back and play a bit more and advance the story and kind of, yeah. I definitely want to get to the bit with the forklifts. Is that in one or two? I can't remember. I think
that's in one, I believe.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to have to go at least that far, but probably maybe even further as well. But yeah, as an enjoyable trip down memory lane, but maybe not for everyone.
Yeah, there we go. If you're old enough to remember it, well then, the simple things will amuse you like that. Diarmaid, you're not Coleman. Diarmaid.
It is me.
What have you been playing, Diarmaid?
So this week saw the release of Strange Brigade from Rebellion. Now, before we start, my housemate works for the publisher.
Okay.
And our good friend Joe works for Rebellion.
Okay.
However, I do want to point out as well,
take it with a pinch of salt.
Exactly. I did buy this game, so it is my opinion, but I just wanted to let people know if they want to take this. It's not even a review because I haven't completed it. It only came out yesterday. But if they want to take this preview with a pinch of salt, they can.
Right.
But I will say, I'm really enjoying it so far. I played yes.
So let me know, what's kind of the setup with Strange Brigade? Because it sounds a bit of a kind of a generic, no offense to Rebellion, but a bit of a kind of generic, quirky name for a game. So what's the deal here?
So you are a member of the Strange Brigade. If you think of it similar to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, almost.
Okay.
Where it's set in the 1930s time. And you are one of a team of people who are sent in to investigate strange anomalies when they occur. So when the game opens, you're in a massive Zeppelin.
With your
crew. There's multiple characters that you can play as, but I've chose the professor. The reason being, one of his abilities is he can find kind of hidden doorways around the level that allow him to go into certain secret rooms, basically. So the characters are kind of special in that sense, in that they can be, they have their own powers. So one of them is, I think, his Frank Fairborn. He's basically like the grandfather of the character from the Sniper Elite series, for instance. Then you have the professor, who's De Quincey something. Basically, this is a game you're going to love, Dan. You're going to love it.
Right.
You're
going to
be
okay.
Like,
I think
mocking
the humor's
all
on,
of the
yeah.
accents as they go through. It's brilliant. In the game, kind of chief antagonist is Seteki, basically an old barbaric queen from Egypt, who is rising again, and your job is to stop it. And the Strange Brigade who are sent in to do it. And it has a very kind of almost old school James Bond, you're told over the radio what your mission is. You drop in on from the Zeppelin. You drop in on parachutes and land in the area. And the game plays like a third-person shooter with powers. And it's you can play it single-player, but it is really meant to be played cooperatively. And it's a lot of fun. It's if you have played Zombie Army Trilogy or Sniper Elite. Now, obviously, the focus on both of those games was in kind of scoped weapons and snipers and so on. This is far more rounded. So there's pistols and submachine guns and automatic rifles and shotguns and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot more mixed. And it's a lot of fun. They've clearly been making these types of games for years, and they've learned how to make it feel good. The number of enemies that you can fight, they range from skeletons, mummies, giant scorpions, there's minotaurs, multiple different enemies, and it's just fun to go through the storyline, because what they've done is, as well as just shooting stuff, there's also cooperative puzzles. So you have to solve Indiana Jones-like puzzles to move on to the next area, but they might require two or three people to actually step on switches at the right time or to find certain elements in the level. And it just... Yeah, I've been playing through it. I've only gotten about three levels in. There's 10 levels in total. At least currently. I think they're going to be releasing further in DLC and so on. But at the moment, there's 10. I've cleared 3 of them since yesterday, and each one took 45 minutes, maybe close to an hour. Okay. That was the first time we went through it. And as I said, there's a lot of puzzles, so I'm sure many of those puzzles you'll just breeze through if you're replaying the game. As you go through the game, killing enemies allows you to collect their souls in amulets. Each of the 4 members of the brigade have their own amulet, which allows them to release their own type of power. At the start of the game, for instance, my professor character has the ability to fire out these... They're basically fire snakes that kind of go and hit multiple enemies. It's like an area of effect attack. The other characters have slightly different ones, and you can purchase new ones with skill points as you level up. Killing enemies also gives you money, as well as finding treasure gives you money, and that money can be used to purchase new weapons and to install upgrades, which you find throughout the level as well. It's quite deep, at least so far. I mean, as I said, I'm only 3 levels in, but so far there's lots of different abilities to test out, different weapons to use.
See, I played this in preview at a couple of events, I think, basically. And yeah, like it seemed like it would be an enjoyable multiplayer game. If you've got like a team of people to play with, that's probably it at its best, I would say.
Yes,
agreed. I've seen of it. But like, it, as I say, it's got the co-op puzzles, which that would be my one concern about replayability in terms of whether those puzzles get a bit old going through the levels again and again. But if there's enough variety across all the different levels, then yeah, that's hopefully all right. But I really enjoyed the kind of traps and stuff they had in it as well. I thought like some of those worked really well, and yeah, within the, you know, co-op and also like, cooperatively using your powers together, but also like working together to corral the enemies into a certain position so that you can set off a trap to get as many of them at once, and you know, all those sorts of things. So yeah,
that's the kind of co-op gameplay that they talk about now. So obviously the traps are the one thing where you're kind of, as you say, corralling enemies into or near a trap, which you can trigger by shooting. And then maybe spikes come up out of the ground, or flames, or a spinning blade pops up, things like that. That's one element. You also have the ability to pick up, so it's not regenerating health. So you have the ability to pick up medical flasks of stuff that you can drink to regain health. But you can hold on to them as well. And if one of your friends is in a worse state, you know, in terms of health, you, instead of pressing up to use the health, you can press down and it automatically drops it and they can pick it up. So it's kind of managing that as well. So you might think, oh, I'm half health, I don't really need this right now. And then one of your friends gets attacked and they're dropped really low, you can then drop it. It's kind of one of those, you're kind of thinking not only about yourself in the game, but about everyone else as well.
Can you revive people and stuff as well?
You can. So what happens is when someone gets killed, they get transported to a nearby coffin or a mummy sarcophagus. And all you need to do is run over to it and hold down square to revive them. It takes a little bit of time. So it means that you kind of have to, again, if you have multiple people and one person dies, maybe if you have a team of four, one of them's dead, you might ask the other two people to aggro the enemies, pull them away from where the sarcophagus is, and then you run over and open it up.
Yeah, or give you cover or whatever.
That kind of gameplay it occurs quite a lot in the game. And they clearly have designed it in such a way that, it's just going to be much more fun when you play as a group. I think that's probably the biggest thing. I haven't tried playing it on my own, and I'm sure it's serviceable. But for me, if you're not playing it in the group, it's not going to be as enjoyable. At least that's
interesting.
What I think. The game is, as I said, I've only three levels in. There's also a Horde mode, which I haven't played, but I have played the Score Attack mode, and that is incredibly fun. So the game itself is, you know, you're kind of going through it and it has a certain pace. So there's usually a puzzle to solve, then the area might open up to enemies, and then you move on to the next area and there might be another puzzle to solve or some kind of platforming to traverse. In Score Attack, it's just all enemies all the time, but the game kind of knows that, so it gives you lots of health, it gives you lots of special guns that you can pick up, which have limited ammo, and it also gives you or allows you to recharge your abilities quicker. So all of this kind of adds together, and your mission is to just get from A to B as quickly as possible and get the highest score you can as well. And it was a lot of fun. It was just myself and my housemate that were playing it last night, but that Score Attack mode was intense, and it felt different to the main game because it was so glued to killing enemies and doing that as quickly as possible. So we're using your powers a lot more liberally, and it was just a lot of fun. And I haven't come across any kind of technical issues. The game looks very, very good. Like, the environments are very lush. Graphically, it's fine. I haven't come across any issues in terms of frame rate, but I'm running it on a Pro. The game is was released, as I said, this week. It's available on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And if you're looking for a co-op shooter, yeah, it's worth picking up, in my opinion, at least so far.
Wow. Okay. Well, that sounds all of the good times. And I think like you say, it's available now. It's full price retail, did you say? Yes. But if you've got a couple of buddies who want to do a bit of puzzling, shooting, and, I don't know, just general looting and stuff, sounds like you could do a heck of a lot worse.
Indeed.
Cool. Well, I think that's about all we've done play for this week, which means we are limping into the final stretch of this particular podcast. And that means, Tim.
Yes.
We've forgotten what day comes between Monday and Wednesday because you haven't been here.
Well, could
what,
make
what day? What
that,
day? I don't know. It goes Monday something, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Well, for anyone that doesn't know,
right?
Each and every Tuesday. Dan,
when does that? Well, what is this Tuesday of which you speak?
Each and every Tuesday we do.
When
an
does that happen?
Tabletop Tuesday.
Is that
going to
plug? Is that going to plug the awkward
between
gap between Monday and
Wednesday? Monday and Wednesday.
Huzzah! My calendar-based melodies
are Monday and Wednesday on the day between Monday and Wednesday. That's why you don't know that it even exists, Dan.
Yep. Wow.
But
brilliant. Okay.
If you were in London on a Tuesday and wanted to come join us for a Tabletop Tuesday event, you could come join us and possibly win a game. And just a quick shout out, because we had a visit from a forum member, previous staff member Ian, who popped in from Australia this week. So,
oh,
yeah,
good night, mate.
Maybe one of our furthest ever visitors. Yeah, that was nice. And we've got another visitor from America next week, apparently, as well. So,
ooh.
But yeah, nice to see you. And not only that, he was lucky enough to actually win the feature game as well. So that was always nice.
Excellent. And he's going to get absolutely boned with customs charges. Well,
that was the thing that was especially nice. It was a small game. It worked out okay. It was all good. But yeah, this week is a big game, which is good because we're Big Red Barrel. This Tuesday, the 4th of September, you can come join us in the loading bar in Dalston. And we're not doing our normal of giving a copy of the game away because this game is so big. It's a big game, and it's also a game called Big Trouble in Little China, based on the old movie. And yeah, really big kind of RPG type thing. But basically this looks really cool. Come along and have a quick taste of the game. And if you do, you'll get a chance to win some prizes related to the game and some prizes unrelated to the game. And we'll also have another... Yeah. We'll also have another couple of new games, and if you play either of those new games that evening, you'll also get a chance to win some stuff as well. So, lots of prizes going on. We don't have a copy of this game to give away, but as I said, some prizes related to it, so some other bits and bobs, and yeah, should be a good fun evening. Come along and have a look at the game, and possibly win some stuff just by doing so.
Well, stroke my buttocks and call me Gertrude.
A bit different to normal, but should be good fun, so come and join us. There are more details on bigredbarrel.com on the top left hand side, or there will be by the time you hear this podcast. And there's also you can join our meetup group on meetup.com, search for Tabletop Tuesday, and yeah, come join us and play some board games and card games.
Indeed. And I'd imagine details will also be going out via Twitter, which is @BigRedBarrel, and also Facebook, which is facebook.com/BigRedBarrel, unsurprisingly. Hey, We're not paid for originality. We just put the same thing after the things. Cool. All right. Well, I believe then, he says, that's nearly a show. But we need to say thank you to a couple of people. From the Twitter bit of the Twitter, I would like to say thank you to Nelly and Richard Kirk.
And from Facebook, I'd like to thank Freya Goddard and Grandmaster Pricey.
Yay. DMed. DMed.
Yes.
We're going to thank DMed.
I want to thank DMed, but also DMed. Are you ashamed of iTunes?
I am.
Why are you ashamed of iTunes, DMed?
Because it's installed on my PC and makes it run slow. Wait.
Are you also aggrieved by the fact that no one left us a review on iTunes?
Yes. Yes. It hurts my soul. You know, it kind of keeps me up at night as well. Not just the heat in this apartment, it's also the...
How could you do that to this lovely, lovely Irishman and you'd scar his soul that way, hey? How could you do it to him, eh? To such a nice guy.
You know, you two can adopt an Irishman today by just writing a review. It only takes 2 minutes and it'll be enriching other people's lives as well as your own.
Oh, we've moved on to emotional blackmail for reviews. Oh,
we
brilliant.
Have. So remember, just text DMEDS of... Egypt to 80212.
That won't YouTube. Do anything. Then go to iTunes and leave a review.
So there we go. Right, that's your lot. We're definitely done with the show now. So, dear man, thank you for filling Coleman's rather unpleasantly moist shoes.
More than welcome.
For yet another week. And good to have you with us, as always.
Thank you.
Oh, and just... before I forget to mention, myself and Coleman are heading down to Bandai Namco. Namco Bandai. I always forget which way around that is these days. We're going there. So there should be some more content on our YouTube and everything else this week. So look out for that.
Hey, Tim, are you going to play some more Race Combat?
Oh, yes, I am, Dan.
No, seriously, you have to. We're not going to... No, you don't let Coleman record any footage. It has to be you.
Straight for novice mode, and then I'm going to fly upside down, inside out.
Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yes.
And make YouTube very,
anyone.
Very angry.
Yeah. You thought I was bad before. I wasn't even trying to be bad.
Wait for that video. I cannot wait for it.
Going to be amazing. So
be
keep your eyes peeled to That's Our Bigger Barrel TV, I believe, on the YouTubes. So, yeah, well, that's been the show, I suppose. So all that's left for me to do is remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've definitely been Dermid.
Yes, correct answer. Well done. Brilliant. And thank you once again for listening. Make sure you go to www.bigredbarrel.com and internet.com/thing/bigredbarrel and come say hello to us there. So, that's your lot. Thank you ever so much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.